Blessed be the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you today. We have a beautiful day outside and inside, and it is always great to be with you at St. Paul's and to congratulate you that you have made it through one of the longest gospel readings in the lectionary. It's a long story with lots of twists and turns, but I found this week as I was reading it and preparing for today that I was being taken way back into my childhood to a time when I was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and I was remembering our next door neighbor. His name was Mr. Lawless, and he was a grandfather figure. He was at home during the day. He was always glad to see me. He always told me how much help I was. He let me dig in his flower garden, ask him endless questions, and he fixed my toys and knew how to cross the street. I thought he was nothing short of a god. He was also a great spitter. In my memory, he could spit for 20 feet. I'm sure that was a little of an exaggeration, but to a very young child, it was very impressive. I decided to be like him. I too would be a great spitter. My mother was considerably less ambitious than I was in that regard, and she was always breaking up my practice sessions when she could catch me at it. And then one Sunday, I heard this story of Jesus healing the blind man with spit, and I was sure my problem was over, because surely my mother couldn't disapprove of something even Jesus did. I quickly learned that my mother, as much as she loved Jesus, had her limits, and this was not persuasive, and I never became a champion spitter. But I'm very grateful that I did make a very early connection between Jesus and spit, and I'm grateful for the connection because it speaks directly to the ministry for which Jesus came into the world. His ministry is rooted in the reality of dirt and spit. Whatever seems most distressing to us, whatever offends our sense of propriety, whatever seems hopeless, those things begin to get to the baseline of who we are. And that is exactly where Jesus is to be found. In the world of the first century, the spittle of a healer was considered to have curative powers. And so this story would have been collected and told and retold to emphasize the healing power of Jesus. In Scripture, it follows the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And in the sign given to her, Jesus described himself as living water. And then he goes on to this encounter with the blind man. And this sign reveals him as one who heals. Samuel uses oil to anoint David as king of Israel. David, of course, the youngest, the smallest, the one left out in the field with the flock and kept at home while his father and his brothers go to the important religious meeting. He wasn't even there. Jesus uses spittle to anoint the blind man, the one of least position, the one totally dependent on others, reduced to begging in order to survive. We hear of another anointing in the 23rd Psalm. The shepherd also anoints with oil, right in the middle of the great feast he prepares for us. I know this psalm by heart, as most of you do as well. I don't know how many times I have recited it, but I had never noticed until this week that there is a sudden grammatical change in this psalm, and that change is very important. The psalm starts out in the third person, "The Lord is my shepherd," but it ends up in the second person, speaking more intimately of you and me. Why this change, and how does it happen? It does not occur in the green pastures. It doesn't happen beside the still waters or along the right pathways. It happens in the dark valley, the place of evil and death, the place where dirt surrounds us on all sides and barrenness closes in. This shift happens in the worst of times, not in the best of times. The psalmist comes to know the more remote Lord as the loving shepherd precisely at the darkest moment, when the living water meets the barrenness, and goodness and mercy begin to flow. The darkness of evil, the darkness of blindness, both of these are met by this light which God sends into the world. These people experience conversion when the light meets their darkness, and the living water meets the dirt of their lives. Recently read an account by a man whose wife had died suddenly, and he was left in terrible grief, and he couldn't seem to move beyond it month after month after month. He was in a very dark place, and he thought perhaps a change of scenery would help him, and he had always wanted to go to Switzerland, and so off he went. But when he got there, he found that it was the same story. Grief and despair were with him in every moment, and he did not experience any relief. One afternoon, he decided to climb a mountain pass with the intention of committing suicide by throwing himself off the cliff when he got to the top. He made his way up and stood right at the precipice, ready to jump. And he suddenly heard music. He turned around and looked back down the mountain and realized that there was a small cave in the side of the mountain. And right along that entrance to the cave was a barefoot boy who was, of all things, playing a harmonica. He felt so completely alone, with grief cutting everything off. Somehow, this very pure and unexpected music coming from a child in a wild place, somehow, in his darkest moment, God got through to him. And he suddenly realized how much goodness and beauty life did have to offer, and how blind he had been in his refusal to see and to hear. He said this, "I suddenly understood that when you need a blessing most, that is when God will be with you, standing by and ready to reach out and touch you in some unexpected way." He was blind, but then he saw. He was deaf, but then he heard. The valley of the shadow of death, where the spit meets the dirt, that's where we meet the Lord, one-on-one. That's where our blindness has an opportunity to be healed if we can let God's light dissolve our own obsession with darkness. As 1 John so well puts it, light came into the world and people preferred the darkness. That's us he's talking about. We are really good at grief and obsession and anxiety and fear. And yet God stands right next to us, offering joy and hope and the promise of new life. In those dark places, those are the places where the abstract becomes the reality. That's where we find God. That's where the Lord becomes the good shepherd. The man born blind can't seem to satisfy all the questions the Pharisees ask. And he finally says in exasperation, "Look, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." He helps us to hang on to the essentials. We don't have to understand everything. He still had no idea how Jesus healed him. He only knew it was true. He shows us that we just need to make ourselves available to the healing touch of Jesus, who reaches into the dirtiest, most vulnerable and painful places and dares to bring hope and healing. We live in dark valleys, and Jesus is there. We are blind to reality, and the spit and the dirt open our eyes. In the nittiest gritty, that is where we find the Lord. Today is a wonderful day of new commitments. Today, we proclaim our confidence in God's presence and power as we baptize and confirm. Through the words of the Creed and the baptismal covenant, we affirm the faith we have received. And at the font, we watch the living water of baptism and the anointing oil of chrism meet the dust of our vulnerable humanity. And there is healing and salvation and spiritual sight. It is for this that Jesus came into the world. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are gathered into the fellowship of those who see. We are always invited to experience that presence and power. Perhaps as a table set before our enemies, as anointing oil on our foreheads, as the goodness and mercy which follow us all the days of our lives, or perhaps as healing music right on the edge of the precipice. Sadly, I never became a champion spitter. But I did learn that Jesus comes into this nitty-gritty place of our lives and brings healing and joy and power. And that, my very good friends, is the great good news of the gospel of Christ. Amen.